back here with Truth News Radio. It is a great pleasure being with you today. And in the second hour of today's show, we are going to get back into this very, very treacherous and somewhat confusing topic of the need for identification, whether we can prevent crime by doing so, and the direction in which the global financial systems and currencies are headed, and the crossover between those two topics, which I believe is very important and it's very deep. Because as we see Western countries moving towards this technocratic dictatorship where people's lives are more and more managed and overseen by the Big Brother state, one of the main ways in which they do that is by limiting people's ability to buy and sell. And this, again, is sold to us as a wonderful thing because it says it protects us. It stops crime. It prevents crime. It protects the system. And everyone is expected to be on board with that because it's so wonderful, isn't it? And, you know, compared to the previous systems, which were so easily broken into, the newer systems that they've got now are much, much tougher. And it's all about keeping you safe. Well, as I said in the first hour, there are two basic angles to this that I wish to highlight again so that it's very clear that you can use this if you're in a debate with someone on this topic. The first one is the concept of self-ownership. If we consider that we own ourselves, we do not need to be branded and labelled. I do not need to have a 16-digit number to identify me because I own myself. I only need to brand and label my property. So if people are telling you you need to be branded and labelled so you can't be merged with someone else so that you can be always identified, it means that someone considers you to be their property. So this question of self-ownership is absolutely essential to the question of whether we should submit to the idea that everyone should be identifiable in a fail-safe way. The other question is the question of prevention of crime. As I said in the previous hour, you simply cannot prevent all crime. It's a ludicrous proposition. And Philip K. Dick made a joke of it with his book, The Minority Report, to show you, and a lot of people, a lot of writers and a lot of thinkers have tried to explain that this idea of preventing crime is ludicrous, but it also is an avenue for those who simply want to control all of human behavior. And finally, there is this very fundamental philosophical understanding that you need to have, which is that if you don't allow people freedom, if you don't allow people the freedom to make a choice between doing right and doing wrong, then you cannot consider them to be either good or bad. They're simply becoming, you're treating them as if they are either your property or as if they are robots. You are denying them their humanity. A part of our humanity is our freedom of choice. And I have the freedom of choice to be a good person, to be a kind person, or to be a bad person and do wrong things, right? Those who are trying to create this overarching superstate where you can't break the law are denying your basic humanity. They're trying to turn you into a cyborg. So it has to be opposed. It has to be opposed philosophically, and it has to be opposed with boots on the ground, because it really is an attack on what the basic essence of being human is. And we're also going to be talking in the second hour about Bitcoin. I have very serious concerns about where Bitcoin is headed and perhaps what Bitcoin always was, that it may have come under cover as a Trojan somewhat to be now used as the means by which this sort of universal system with one universal currency and one universal form of identification is going to be foisted upon us all. And to discuss all of that in great depth, I have my great friend Josh Jackson on the line. Josh, welcome to Truth News, buddy.
How fitting. How are you, sir?
I'm extremely good. I'm just steamed up. I can tell you, I'm really pumped up.
I can hear that, and I think they're very, 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 very important discussions that need to be had. The thing is, you know, with Bitcoin and with this whole technocratic super biometric soaking machine that's building up around us.
Yeah.
I see that they're actually what's happening is with this Bitcoin thing is that we're getting to the point now where we're developing systems to get around this. Identity is actually quite an important thing. I mean, if you think about it, in terms of if you go to do business with someone else, they want to know who they're doing business with. Are they doing business with Harold Fenton? Okay, well, they're doing business with you, and they know you. You've got a good reputation in the marketplace or whatever, and you can do it. I mean, eBay uses this to very, very good, in a very good way, but in a voluntary way. So you have a username, you have a, you get on there and you start getting a feedback rating system about if you've ripped people off, if you're a good seller, if you send stuff on time, if you receive stuff on the, yeah, you know, this sort of thing. So identity in and of itself is, of course, a very, very important thing. What is happening, though, is that the state and are using the concept of identity and really tying it blood and DNA and everything to you, actually you.
Yeah.
And this is not really needed. We can see that with eBay, that you just have to have the right incentives. So the good things that are happening in from Bitcoin, I mean, Bitcoin, it's a bit of a crossover situation, folks, and I'm sorry to confuse you between identity and Bitcoin, but what Bitcoin has done is what the problem it has solved, actually, is you can't copy. It's the first digital thing you just can't copy in terms of the token, on the token level, on the Bitcoin level. I can't just copy a Bitcoin and make two of them, you know, because otherwise they'll be worth nothing. Now, this ties in with identity because you shouldn't be able to just copy an identity. Right now, what's happening is there's these ATMs that are coming out, and the governments are basically forcing ATM makers to, because Bitcoin is pseudo-anonymous,
yeah,
they're forcing people to basically pull down their pants and show everything to use, to, you know, withdraw or get Bitcoins. And they're using it at basically the on-ramp section of the whole ecosystem.
But isn't it wonderful, Josh, that they're doing that to keep us safe, huh?
Well, it's absolutely ludicrous. But the thing is that the folks in the Cypher, you know, I mix with a lot of the guys in the Cypher punk movement over the years. The problem with Bitcoin that they've been working on is this whole pseudo-anonymous to truly anonymous. And that's not a very fast step. Right now, Bitcoin can be tracked and traced, and it's a public ledger. That's how it works. That's how it can't be copied, because each Bitcoin, if I get a Bitcoin, the system automatically checks, what address did I get that from? What address did that guy get it from? What address did that guy get? All the way back to the origin of when it was mined into existence. And so there's this current, that's how you can tell. If I insert a Bitcoin, a new one, fresh out of nowhere, the whole system goes, hang on a minute, this just appeared out of nowhere. This doesn't have an origin.
Yeah.
Now, so what we have to see there, though, is that this is just the first step. Money is just the first application of this blockchain, which is that looking back through the past all the way back to its origin technology. And we are now getting to the point where people are developing identity systems based on the blockchain, so that you don't have to identify with yourself. You can just generate a number. You hold the private key to that, and over time, that identity gains trust.
Yeah.
So that you can then, that's not tied to you personally unless you want it to be.
It's an entity. I get it.
It's an entity. And that way you can start saying, oh, well, look, I'm doing business with some random guy in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
But I don't know who he is. All I know is that he's done business 400 times with other people, and they've all given him good feedback.
Now, can I just interject briefly? Because the point here is that you don't know and you don't necessarily care whether he's a male or a female or a transvestite or whether, in fact, it's two people that are running a little business together or whether it's a whole family that is just using that one entity. You don't care and you don't need to care, do you? You don't care about what the DNA fingerprint of the person who spoke to you last is. All you care about is whether that entity does good business with you and whether you continue to do business with them.
Yeah, or, you know, you can even trace to see, oh, look, I don't like this business entity's practices because I it's been reported that he's using this for this or that or stuff that yeah. I'm against. And this is the beauty of this transparency that is arriving. You know, for instance, Bitcoin, you can definitely launder money, whatever that silly term is.
Yes.
But you can also, for charities and stuff, they can be more open. Governments can be more open if they choose to use it because every address that's there, everyone can watch money pouring into this address.
Yes.
You can obfuscate it, but...
Can I just briefly just mention something because it's just on my mind. I just want to talk about this amazing stuff called cash that we carry around in our wallets, right?
Yeah.
And the beauty of it is, right, you know, I can give you $10 and I can say, can you go down to the shops and buy something for me? And you can use the $10 that was in my wallet. No one cares that it came out of my wallet and went to you and you went and bought something and gave me the change. But I believe
it's
that the power, but I believe that the power freaks at the top of the pyramid want to abolish that type of freedom. They actually don't want it to be possible for me to give you $10 to go down to the shops to buy something for me. They want all money and all transactions to be identified by one person only. And they've already implemented this in some ways. For example, when you buy an airline ticket with a credit card, you actually have to show the credit card when you check in. And it's ludicrous because what if I want to buy a ticket for my son or, you know, my wife using my credit card? Oh, you can't. It's insecure. What? Are you crazy?
No, that's right. That's
It's totally ludicrous.
And I hear it all the time where people say, oh, well, you know, it's terrible to have anonymous money because, you know, you could be doing anything with it, terror, and if you don't have anything to hide, then you shouldn't care. But the fact of the matter is that money was never a trackable mechanism. It was never meant for a tracking device.
Yeah.
It was meant as, and in fact, the thing is with a truly free market of money, and this is what we're getting to, and I know you said in your intro there that, you know, we're looking like Bitcoin is this one world, a single currency, but it's not. I mean, Bitcoin has just, you know, if you look at all the altcoins that are out there now, basically forks, basically copies, clones of Bitcoin with little tweaks and things that are trying to make that better or worse or, you know, tests on things. There's hundreds of thousands of them now. And it can't be stopped. This idea of competing currencies can't be stopped. They can't stop it because they can't shut them down because they're distributed networks. And so there is, without shutting down the entire internet, you can't shut it down. And you can throw money, you can convert money between Bitcoin and Litecoin back to Bitcoin.
That's very interesting. We're just heading to break, and that's possibly something we'll really get into later on in the show about the alternate currencies generally. So it's not Bitcoin or nothing. It's cryptocurrencies are the future. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Stay with us.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now.
With Truth News Radio, and I'm talking to Josh Jackson about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, and the surveillance grid, and whether or not it's going to be possible to have the sort of future that we want, which is we want the freedom, we want the beauty of the cryptocurrencies, but part of the beauty of that is the freedom. If we don't have the freedom, then I don't want it. And I tell you, mate, I'm not using an ATM that requires me to biometrically identify myself. I ain't going to use it.
Yeah, but this isn't the companies wanting to do that. This isn't the, you know, I know some of the guys that are making these things, and that, you know, I don't know them personally, but I've met them online. I've chatted with people around that these circles.
Yeah.
And it's not like they want to, you know, they don't want to make it hard. They love Bitcoin because it's easy. I mean, it's simple. I use it to buy food all the time, and you basically can go on a website. You don't need to, like with food, for instance, you need to put your address because they're delivering it. But if you buy an MP3 or whatever on some sites, you don't even need to give any details about yourself. You don't need to give your name. You don't need to give anything. Maybe some want your email so they can send you the file.
That is great.
But some just, you know, you just pay and then it loads to the next page where you can, where the link is, where you can download whatever you want that they're selling. And you don't need anything. You just scan the QR code with your phone and pay, and then, you know, the 1 cent or whatever the micro payment is to read an article, and it's bloop, bloop, there it is. You know, and there are people out there, Harold. There are amazing folk out there figuring out distributed markets. I mean, there's a whole distributed network starting to build up now, and I think we're seeing now this arms race between between the free world and a world of biometrically scannable everything. And so, you know, to catch a bus, you're going to have to show your wrist to, you know, all this sort of rubbish. Or your eyeball, or just...
Well, indeed, in fact, you'll just be biometrically scanned without even knowing it, which is what I saw in this recent documentary from Holland, is that they have the biometric cameras on public transport scanning your face and matching you to an idea database.
Yeah, and your walking style, you know, so even if you put a mask on, they can detect your biometric walking style, which is also biometric. Yeah, so, I mean... The thing is, you know, it definitely needs to be opposed from a top-down point of view. The thing is that, I mean, I'm not totally against cameras. If a private business wants to have a camera above their cashier, you know, that's their own prerogative.
Well, look, I'm totally for freedom as well. I really believe in freedom. I don't just talk about it. I believe in freedom. I believe we should be free to take photographs or video pretty much wherever we go. There are some areas of sensitivity where you don't do that, but it's basically a personal thing and it's between you and the other person. If the other person asks you not to film them, I think it's the, you know, respectful thing to be respectful to people, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And I even apply that to policemen. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a good thing to go around filming policemen. I mean, they don't necessarily like being filmed. I wouldn't like someone trailing behind me with a camera either. But the point is... the point is, it's not the state's business to intervene in that. It's a personal choice that you make to do it, and the other person can either say yes or no. But, of course, setting up cameras at public expense through our taxes that are all in a giant grid connected to a massive database network that's also connected to your driver's license database so they can identify wherever you go, that, on the other hand, that's another thing.
Well, it's this entire grid that's building up. But, you know, the amazing minds that are behind in the cypherpunk movement, cypher meaning encryption and privacy of data, are really starting to get to the next level. There's a whole project called MadeSafe, which is spelled Made, M-A-I-D, safe. It's a whole network. It's a whole distributed network that seeks to basically start the internet from scratch without the centralization of the internet. So we have everything that's decentralized, unsensitizable. And, you know, these are the projects that are coming out and which the Bitcoin technology has really strapped a rocket to, because this was a major problem which has taken the last 30 years to solve, this double spend problem, this way of making something uncopyable.
Yes, that's very, very important, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we now have a new thing called dark markets, which, you know, if people were keeping close ear on the news over the last year. There was one of the first Bitcoin services on the internet was with a site called Silk Road, which was a marketplace that basically was a true free marketplace. So it was sitting on what's called the Tor network, which is an anonymizing network. A lot of whistleblowers use it if you're in Iran. And, the CIA was originally the ones that developed it. Of course, then it went into open source and into the free hands so people could totally vet it and start again. And it lets people chat anonymously online without being tracked through their IP address. So this marketplace sat in there, and you could buy anything. You could buy marijuana and drugs and even weapons. Although the market guy stopped weapons because he didn't like it. It was a voluntary thing. It's his little thing, so that he didn't want that.
Yeah.
And there were strict rules, like no child pornography and no things like this. So there was rules that the guy put on. Now, this sort of marketplace, of course, got shut down eventually. He got sloppy. He accidentally, I'm not sure exactly. I think the it took a long time. It was up for 5 years or so. So, but then it was good old police work that busted this guy, poor guy, which I don't, but the fact of the matter is it made, the funny thing is it made drugs really safe because the people selling them, for the first time, drug dealers had a feedback channel, which, geez, if in the real world, if you tell the guy on the corner that his product's crap, he's probably going to beat you or shoot you. You're not going to tell. And you're not going to tell everyone else, geez, don't buy from that guy, in case word gets back to him that you're spreading bad stuff. So what happened, though, is with these marketplaces that you have, again, these identities, these numbers, these pseudo-avatars that are sellers or buyers, and they're giving each other feedback saying, actually, it was really good, and product, or it was really bad, or it came late, it took ages, and they don't want to do that. So they create a good service. They deliver good product because they don't want to mix. A lot of the harm in a lot of these drugs is that it's cut with all sorts of crap.
Yes.
I don't take drugs myself, but you can, that's just common knowledge that cut with Ajax
the criminal masterminds of these businesses can make more money, so they can basically sell a cheaper product and basically make more money. That's what they're trying to do. Yeah,
and this can't happen in this sort of marketplace because eventually people, analyze it and go, actually, this was cut 30% with, soap powder or sugar or whatever, and so then that gets back to it, and those guys go out of business.
Yeah,
and it takes a long time to build up this good feedback, this good, history. And so they don't want to. They'd rather keep doing good business and make a better quality product than shooting you.
Yeah.
Or because they can't shoot you, they'd rather keep their good reputation than stuff it up by one bad transaction to rip you off or something. And this is the kind of things that are happening now. Of course, Silk Road got shut down, but things like these distributed networks, which are based on these blockchains, are building now decentralized marketplaces so that you can't shut it down. You just can't. They can't. And so the whole landscape, because of this NSA revelations and this debacle, it's not just the NSA, that's just a brand behind this whole spy on everything everyone does on the internet. Every country is doing this, including some of the more third world countries, because the technology is quite cheap compared to a lot of the defense budgets to track everyone. So what's happening is this arms race, and Bitcoin is a big part of really messing with their plans to track everything. Even though it's a trackable coin and there's some work to be done, it's a rocket that's strapped to the good guys' back.
Absolutely. We're just going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Very interesting discussion we're having here today indeed. We'll be back with more. Don't go away. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And my guest today is Josh Jackson. Josh has been a great proponent of Bitcoin from its earliest inception. And Josh, I know you've got a stash of Bitcoins there, and I hope you've done very well out of that. I'm somewhat of a skeptic, but I enjoy hearing the alternate viewpoints on it, and I'll always cover everything to do with this subject on the show, and I would like to get more people on the show. I'd certainly love to get some people talking about some of the other cryptocurrencies that you mentioned there, Josh. Well, one thing I'd just like to point out about this meme that we have that is spread by government, that we need to keep careful control and watch on all transactions in order to keep people safe. This is, of course, a post 9/11 meme, which has been used for implementing freedom invasive technologies of every imaginable kind.
And well, if they really cared about the financial, transactions after 9/11, they should really look at 9/11. I mean, they should look at the put options. They should look at the gold that's moved out of the sellers.
Indeed.
37.
And you know, but the sort of the meme of keeping you safe is continually used in a variety of ways that is really just a cover for the oligarchy to not allow true free enterprise, true freedom of people's choice and true markets to develop, where any individual can be an entrepreneur and start selling to any other individual. This is the future of humanity, I believe. This is the future of human civilization. If we don't get this to work, we are somewhat doomed, I think, because these feudal oligarchies that have been around for thousands of years, they want to wipe that out. They hate it because it takes away from their power. And just to give you another example of how they work, Josh, I've spent a bit of time in Southeast Asia recently, and you know, one thing that I'm really amazed at in that part of the world is the incredible entrepreneurial spirit of the people who go out onto the street and start selling something to anyone. Like, they'll sell anything, and they do it, and they're able to do it. This is what's very important to understand, is that their countries don't have the Big Brother system that prohibits them from doing it. They also are motivated to do it. And it's an incredibly rich, diverse economy that's created by someone saying, well, I don't want to go and get a job and just be a wage slave. I want to start my own business. And anyone can buy a cart and go out on the street and start either selling food or clothing or, you know, pirated DVDs or whatever. You know, they sell all different kinds of things, right? And you know, okay, let's just consider it. In our countries, this is completely impossible. It is completely illegal. The police will shut you down in 24 hours and you'll be fine. You'll probably go to court. You'll probably end up with some sort of criminal conviction. For example, if you wanted to sell food on the streets of Sydney, you would end up with a criminal conviction because they'd say, oh, it's not safe. The health department has to, you know, approve of this. Or, my goodness, you could alcohol. Be poisoning people. And, oh, if you were selling alcohol, you'd go to prison. But why is this? Well, they say, oh, it's not safe. You know, you can't sell food because it's, you know, it's my, the health department has to check everything you do. In a way, it's a cover, isn't it? It means that the financial oligarchy controls
it's
everything.
A load of bull. If you get sick, yeah, the guy gets a bad reputation.
Yeah.
And then that bad reputation puts him out of business.
Yeah.
This is how the markets work, not by a control grid that sits on top of it telling people, oh, this guy is safe because he's paid us $10,000 to be there a year.
Yeah.
You know, it's all a load of bull. But the fact is that things like cryptocurrencies, you know, I mean, there's a person in Botswana who really doesn't have a chance, Herod. You know, he doesn't have a chance.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have access to the global market because credit card companies won't allow him. First of all, it's too expensive to maybe for him to accept credit cards.
Yeah.
Or her. But it's also the credit card companies don't do it because of the large amount of fraud and chargeback fraud or stolen cards that are from these areas. So they just don't do it. Or it might be war-torn or whatever, and they don't want to be tied with any of that. So, but the thing is, there's, you know, just recently someone from Botswana sold some things, you know, these to the global market. All of a sudden, they can accept Bitcoin.
Wow.
Or like, and now they can send, you know, their little craft or whatever they're doing in the post, or even if they make MP3s or whatever they do, across the internet, and they've got access now to a global marketplace, and they
Isn't
don't need
wonderful?
To ask, and they don't need to ask for permission. They don't need to go to the bank and ask for permission to open a bank account. They just run a piece of software, and now they've got an account. And so, it's such a breakthrough in terms of, you know, liberating people from these control grids that has been money, and the last place they're trying to control Bitcoin now is on the on-ramps and the off-ramps, back into fiat cash or back into. So trying to get into Bitcoin, through these ATMs or through exchanges, you have to really show every ID to an exchange because they get forced to. They don't want to either, but they have to.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're starting an exchange. I've been busy building, coding an exchange with my startup called Voltoro. And it's probably going to be the same thing, and we're probably going to have to ask for ID, because most certainly we probably will, because the governments will force us. Otherwise, we have to shut down. But the thing is that what we can do is run with it for now, because just around the corner is coming amazing stuff. Plus, eventually, you don't need an on-ramp or an off-ramp, because everyone will be accepting cryptos. So you can just spend your crypto and earn crypto.
Yeah.
And this is what's happening in these in these more developing countries, is that, you know, they went right past the landline. They didn't even bother with it. They went straight to mobile phone.
Okay.
And that's going to be the same with cryptocurrencies and banks. There's a lot of these people are unbanked, you know. Two-thirds of the world are unbanked. They don't have bank accounts. And they're just going to skip banks and go straight to a method of global marketplaces. Plus, there's, like I said before, there are many, many people working on anonymizing this stuff, which is very easy to do.
Can I just ask you, Josh, as you're somewhat an expert in this, let's say I wanted to sell hamburgers on the side of the street and I wanted to accept payment in Bitcoin. How would I go about doing that? How would it work?
It's as easy as downloading an app for your phone, and people are working for dumb. They're building old apps for now dumb phones too. So because a lot of the world has still got the old Nokias.
Yes.
But if you are lucky enough to have a smartphone, it's pretty much just downloading an app from the App Store.
Yes.
And then you get an address, and every time someone buys an ammo, you punch in just like a point of sale system, $2.95, and hit and it creates a little QR code. The other person scans the QR code and pays.
How do they scan the QR code? What do they use to do that?
The little camera on your phone.
Oh, so they use their camera on their phone to scan your barcode on your phone? What actually happens? Can you just describe the transaction? Like I'm walking up to the counter and I'm saying I want to buy a hamburger. So you make the hamburger and you give it to me and say, well, I'm going to pay with Bitcoin. What then happens?
Well, Bitcoin addresses are big long strings of gobbledygook. So J13ZD, you know, a big long string of maybe, I've forgotten the exact number, but it's like 24. Yeah. And it's too, you know, no one wants to talk these things out. So what you do is you scan a QR code which has these numbers. So
will that be printed on a menu or something?
Yeah, on a menu or just on the point of sale system, they'll just type in $5 and a little on their iPad or whatever, because they or their phone and a QR code comes up with their address and how much you owe them, and you just scan it and go pay, and it takes.
Confused. I'm actually, believe it or not, you have to treat me like an idiot, because I'm confused when you say you and them, because I don't know who you is and I don't know who them is.
Okay.
I don't know what the buyer and the seller. Can you just describe what the buyer is doing, what the seller is doing?
Okay, so first of all, I sell you a hamburger.
Yeah.
The seller sells a hamburger to the buyer.
Yeah.
And the seller then brings up his point of sale system, which might be on his iPad or his phone.
Yeah.
Say you're just a street vendor on your phone. You just type in $2.95. That might be the cost of the burger, and you hit go. And that on the seller's phone then comes up a QR code with the information, the account information, the Bitcoin account, and how much it is. The buyer scans it and hits send.
Okay, so the buyer scans the image on the seller's phone with his phone.
Yeah.
Okay, we're just going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Really interesting discussion about Bitcoin. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. I'm talking to Josh Jackson about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, and the future of free commerce. Very, very important subjects for people who believe in the free market. And how do we protect ourselves from this being basically taken over by government and turned into another Big Brother system? Very important question as well to consider. But Josh, can we just finish that? You were describing there that transaction where I'm going to buy a hamburger from someone selling me a hamburger, and I say I'm going to pay in Bitcoin. He says, "That's no problem, sir." And so he pulls out his smartphone. He gets the smartphone app up and types in something, which then displays a code on his phone. And then
like a barcode,
and I'm the customer, and I get my smartphone out, and I just take a photo of the image on his phone, the barcode. I sort of scan that, and that's then processed by my app on my phone.
Yep.
That includes
that barcode is the information of the seller's Bitcoin account.
Okay.
And how much you want to send. That's all.
Okay, and so that's then processed online. Does the seller then get a notification to say payment was received? How does the seller know that you're not just bullshitting him?
His app says, yep, payment come through, and that happens within like 2 seconds.
Okay, so it comes straight back, and he knows that he's got his money, because that's pretty important, isn't it? You don't want it to just be on the trust that someone's, you know, put their phone up and gone bling. You actually really need to know that you've got that money, so it's needs to be the instant handshake.
Absolutely. And Bitcoin, how it works is that the longer so big transactions like a car, you'll want to wait 10 minutes because the longer you wait, or, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour after you've sent the transaction as the seller, because the longer you wait, the more cryptographic proof, the harder it gets to fake that.
Oh, really? Really? So
to fake a Bitcoin transaction will cost you multiple billions of dollars right now because the computer network's getting so big that it's but the fact is that that's how it works, just to confuse the audience a little more. But
yes.
It's a very easy, and the same thing is, I mean, I can send $1,000 to a friend in New Zealand or to a seller in New Zealand, and he'll get it within 2 seconds.
Wow.
There's no bank holidays. There's no nothing. It's cash to cat. It's peer to peer. It's person to person.
Yeah.
So there's the whole network knows that this address, QS3352SW, sent 1,000 Bitcoin to 1283. You know. So the whole network knows that a transaction happened between two addresses, but they don't know the physical person behind the transactions. And these public keys, they're called, these addresses, are ways of basically you can now, there's writing systems on some of these altcoin chains of how to, that means alternative coins, how to assign identity to these addresses. So you can make a fake, when I say identity, I mean you can assign a reputation system to an address. So you can keep an address for a long time, build up reputation so that people then trust that address to do business with. And that's how all that works. Of course, you don't have to. You can just then ditch that address and have a new one and start again.
Yeah.
But it takes you time to build up the trust. But it's not tied to your blood. It's not tied to you as a person. It's just an entity that has a reputation which you control.
Okay.
So you're basically part – you're passing on the concept of identity to an entity that you control. So,
and you're using it in a more meaningful sense. You see, to me, biometric identification is, as I said earlier, as I said at the beginning of the show, it is what you do to cattle. You basically brand cattle so that you can keep track of your livestock, of things you own. What do you have to say about that basic principle? I know you agree, but I want to highlight it once more, is that we are not owned. At least that's my position. I know there are people who think they do own us, but I say to them, I'm not owned. Because I'm not owned, I don't need to be biometrically identified. I'm not your property.
Well, yeah, I mean, the sad truth is we are the property of the government that we are born into, because a lot of us find it very hard to change governments because they lock you down. If you're born in a lucky country like Australia or America, you have the ability to move, but if you're not, you don't. And the thing is that back to your point of being a cattle, I think it's more important to say, to really fight at the concept of we don't need to be tracked to be, to bust bad players. You know, there has to be laws in this world. We don't want people being abused. We don't want children being abused. We don't want, we need to fight. We need to have concepts of law. But the whole concept of, oh, we should just track everyone is not a good way of fighting crime. You fight crime through good old-fashioned police work.
Well, the idea of tracking people is always tied to the idea of pre-crime or prevention, which is to say that they would like to have a system whereby they could know if you were about to commit a crime and have you immediately arrested.
But it doesn't even work.
It's a science fiction concept. It's ludicrous when you actually imagine it fully implemented, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there's cameras starting up. There's companies that basically analyze footage, and they're starting to stick this up in America, where it can determine, this person's being a bit strange. He walked this way, but then walked the other way. So
yeah, they're really developing it, aren't they? It's really happening.
Yeah, yeah. It's really happening. But the thing is, when journalists asked this company, which the name eludes me at the moment, asked this company, well, could it have stopped the Boston bombings? He straight out said, no, it couldn't have.
Absolutely.
Because it doesn't really solve anything. It's just a bunch of people trying to control you more and more. And it's a control of the mind as well, because if you don't feel... if you feel that you're always watched, that everything's tracked, it might be all right now with the government that might be in place now, but when these control grids are in, all of a sudden a power freak, and power freaks have risen through the corridors of power very quickly in the past. If a total power freak comes through the halls of the state to then take control of this control grid, then you're screwed. You know, all of a sudden he makes it illegal to be gay. He makes it illegal to have brown eyes. You know, he wants blue eyes only. Then bad luck. You let this happen, folks, by you saying, oh, I'm not doing anything wrong. Why should they get me? You know. They don't care about me because I'm not doing anything wrong. I just watch sport. But the fact is, we are building a grid around me that might be benign to the current regime, but can be very easily abused and used to anyone that manages to slip through.
So, just getting back to cryptocurrencies in the time we've got left, it looks to me as if they're trying to lock up Bitcoin in a way that ties it to the Big Brother system, at least as you say on the on-ramp and the off-ramp. If you're trying to convert back into fiat currency, that's where they're going to get you. So what's the solution? Is the solution to basically just stay within the cryptocurrency don't convert it back, because if you stay in that realm, they won't be able to track you? Is that what you'd advise?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, currently you can do things absolutely anonymously with Bitcoin, but just straight off the bat with the software on your computer, if you start sending currency in here and there, because I send some money to you, you might have sent money to a shop and they know the address of that shop and they go do some police work and say, who sent you this money from here? And they can trace, well, Herod, because I sent, you know, him the CD. And then they go, okay, so that's his address. And from that address, we can find other addresses that he's used. So there's police work, but there are ways of getting around that through mixing services and stuff like that, but which are now getting programmed by default into wallets. So, you know, the thing is, it's an arms race, and people are working very hard to have freedom. And you know, the first thing that jumps to mind is, oh, dodgy, but it's not. You know, the thing is, we need mixing services in the Bitcoin space for absolutely legitimate purposes, because businesses don't want their competition knowing exactly what's going in and out of their coffers. Yeah. They don't want other competition knowing who their suppliers are. They don't want competition knowing how much their customers are spending with them. So having mixing services and anonymizing your income stream is absolutely normal, and people need to realize that it's not always, it's not just all sketchy business transactions. You want to do something illegal, bust him just for even thinking of the concept of mixing coins. There's now a wallet by the same people that are coming out with Dark Markets called Dark Wallet, which basically has a mixing service built in, which is not only, because the original mixing services, you had to trust a centralized system and some people ran off with a lot of coins. So mixing services, basically you send in your coins, and so do thousands of other people. It trades them around, and you pay the person you want to pay with someone else's coins, basically. The same thing that you're talking about with the going to the shop and paying for someone else's lollies with cash.
Which is a terrible thing to do, isn't it? I mean, that should be stamped out. It's just so evil.
Ban everything. But, so these Dark Wallet is an amazing technology which decentralized the mixing services. And so it's all happening, folks. It just takes time. And this whole NSA tracking thing is going to come to an end too soon.
Thanks, mate. Well, we're at the end of the hour. Josh, we're going to keep our eye on this topic, and we're going to follow it up more frequently. So thanks a lot for coming on today.
Very good.
That's our show for this week. We'll be back next week. See you then.